Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about all of our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radios listeners all across the nation and the world. Of course, joining me today to encourage you is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And Steve Kolaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. Boy, I tell you what, that good day, every day is a good day. I like that. Every day is a good day. We're excited to be with you today. If you missed any of our programs, we just continue, encourage you. Continue. Go to VFNTV.com. Check your local listings. We've been sharing some really exciting things on air, and we're excited about today's program. So many things are happening in the world today. You're just going to take a pause and go, okay, all right, God, I'm just going to leave that with you.
Right.
I'm not going to pick that up today. You are God, I think, you're more than able to carry that. But God is just so good. I'm so excited about everything that he's doing, guys, all across, the country, and just the anticipation of this awesome outpouring of his spirit. I'm hearing from almost everybody these days so many encouraging things about revival and a move of God. And, we've had some dynamic times at the Dream Center, which has been absolutely wonderful. The Spirit of God's just been moving, and just the words going forth in power. And I'm just encouraged, man.
Yeah, it's powerful.
I'm encouraged. I know that you had a chance to go to a couple of a ceremony last night. Did you get an award?
No, I didn't get one. My daughter did.
She did. Talk
Your
to us.
Your son did.
Oh, really? That's right. He did get one.
And Chris's daughter.
That's right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Wonderful.
I got to acknowledge for, I'm not exactly sure what they call it, but it was some type of award for a particular subject they were in.
Academics?
Academics, yeah.
Wow, that's really good.
Jordan got one for journalism.
Yeah, that's what
Elijah pretty cool.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
It's good when the kids invest in their education. Like, yes, good, very good.
Yeah, exactly.
Celebrate that.
Exactly.
Well, good stuff. Good job, guys. Continue to do your work in school and everyone that's in school today. Steve, I'm excited about what the Lord has laid on your heart and what you're going to be sharing. Hopefully, we'll be able to get it in this program. But remember that we are four programs back to back. And just stay tuned. Stay tuned. I want to give a shout out to Ida at Auntie's today. We have some awesome sponsors, let me tell you.
Do.
We've got some incredible sponsors, and we encourage you, visit our sponsors. They're wonderful people. They're standing with us. We're standing with them. And we encourage you to visit them, do business with them. But Auntie's in Pensacola, in Cantonment, some of the delicious barbecue, you've ever tasted. Mm-hmm. Them ribs is good.
Man, them ribs
and
are good.
Pulled pork, let's not get started on that. I didn't have breakfast this morning. let's keep it moving. but Auntie's and Ida, they are actually have been serving meals to victims that of the flood. I believe in one subdivision, Bristol Park, she's actually feeding them, going out there and bringing food and making sure that everyone is fed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, wow, that is absolutely amazing. Just doing her part and their business just contributing to what's happening for relief.
Yeah,
there's nothing like, how many hurricanes did we have in 1 year? Was it five, six?
Five at least. I think.
Five hurricanes in 1 year. And after a while, you're just tired of picking up debris. You're tired of just the filth and just all the stuff that you got to deal with. It's amazing what a nice meal does for you. You know what I mean? It's like, I just want to eat something right now. It's, and just relax and enjoy. I want to encourage you, if you're in the area, visit Auntie's and get you some of that good
delicious
barbecue. Barbecue. Well, on today's program, we're going to be talking about seven mountains, the seven mountains of society, and how, fellas, gentlemen, how we can have a true impact for Jesus in the world that we live in. We live in this world. That's supposed to be of it, but we are in it
right now,
okay? And how we can have a true impact in it, declaring that Jesus is Lord over all. Amen. And it's so exciting. We're going to talk about that and really allow that to just, be unfolded because, hey, you know, we're not just here trying to hang around for the by and by and just, so you know, waiting for our exit ticket to go to heaven, but we want to impact the world while we're here. We want to win people to Jesus. We want them to be discipled, and we want to affect every area of society. Jesus needs to be proclaimed. And so we're going to talk about that. It's something that's just really exciting to me, and I know to many others. And we're going to get ready to share that. Also, in today's program, we're going to be talking about the Anti-Defamation League. They just released, just released a poll of over 100 countries that finds more than one quarter of those surveyed are infected with anti-Semitic attitudes. And those are attitudes, quote-unquote, stereotypes or prejudices against Jews. And this poll was just released yesterday. We're going to just talk about some of these statistics. But we've been sharing on this program, how the Jews have been persecuted and the Christians have been persecuted. And if you haven't listened to JJ, Jews and Jesus, Jews and Christians, you need to listen to that segment, because you're going to see this persecution on the rise, and you're going to be amazed at some of the things. You may or may not be, but, you know, call me naive, you know, but it's like I said, there's a period of time to stop being naive now. It's like, okay, don't be naive anymore. Don't be naive.
Got it.
They hate, you know, they hate Jews, and they hate, just settle, just know that. Just know that. And what you can do to be educated, to be informed, because those are the first two steps before you can actually be activated. A lot of times people can't be activated in supporting the work of God or what supporting, let's say, Israel, for instance, in this case, because they don't even know what's going on. And so if you don't know what's going on, if you don't know the situation here, how can you be mobilized and activated in prayer and support and giving and being a part of the answer?
Right.
You know, because if you're not part of the answer, you're just out of the way, you know. And hey, listen, we're called
to
have.
Or in the way.
Yeah. Hey, hello.
That's true.
Yeah. Get involved or get out of the way, right?
Right, exactly.
So we're going to talk about all of that, hopefully, in today's program. There's just so much. But, you know, I wanted to share about these seven mountains, because, you know, God's called us to make disciples of the nations, right? And as we're discipling the nations, right, we start discipling individuals that come to the Lord. And we talked about in a previous segment, program, we talked about how, you know, Jesus is not taking applications. He's taking commitments. And what that means is that, you know, it's not just here, sign up and, you know, here I am. I'll just pray a little prayer and then just live whatever life I want to live. You got to understand that you got to count the cost when you come to Jesus. And there has been a ooshy-gooshy grace, you know, gracie gospel, if you will, that just says, hey, you can accept Jesus and you can, there's no change in your life necessary. You don't have to repent of anything. You can keep all your sin and do whatever as long as you just believe. Well, the Bible tells us that even the devil believes, and yet he shudders. But it seems like some's definition to believe allows them to believe in Christ and yet have no effect at all in their life. And oftentimes I've heard of, you know, people's testimonies. Let me tell you what a testimony is, right? A testimony of salvation is what your life was before you came to Christ. And normally that's going to be filled with doom, sadness, brokenness, hurt,
sin,
bondage. Sin. I mean, that's what happens when we don't know Christ. We fall into all of this stuff, and it's horrible. But then there comes this defining moment, this line in the sand. And that line could be, you know, thick or thin. Sometimes it takes people a season, you know, where they fully transition. But however thick that line is, you know what I'm saying? Where it happened in one day, you were totally transformed over a period of, you know, weeks or months. You cross the line, and then on the other side of that line, there is a distinct difference of what your life was like. So it would be like, you know, Pat, before and after Jesus. There's a distinct difference. There's a distinct difference. And oftentimes, you know, you can hear folks, and it's like, where was it that you met Jesus in this? Where was the distinction? And there's no difference. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Word of God says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away and all things become new. That person who I was is dead, and now I'm alive again in a new way. My spirit is reborn, but really your life is transformed. So there's no way to come to Jesus and not have a transformational, recognizable,
right,
fruit-bearing difference. It's just impossible.
Right.
And so that's a clear way. So we're talking about these commitments, discipling the nations, but, you know, Jesus is not taking applications, taking the commitments. Mm-hmm.
And I saw that billboard yesterday.
Did you?
On my way to the
that event.
Yeah, that's exactly where I saw it.
Isn't it something?
Yeah.
The billboard that we're talking about is a billboard about the Marines.
Yeah, yeah.
And has a Marine in his blues, Steve?
Dress blues,
and he's wearing a cover. I heard, not a hat, Chris.
I'm so
cover.
Proud of him.
Hey, I'm learning. I try to, you know, I want to honor, you know, hey.
Very chiseled.
That's my heart. Very chiseled. Very chiseled. Look serious. Mm-hmm. And the app and the verbiage or the phrase next to his picture says, we don't take applications, only commitments. And so it's like, mm-hmm. wow. Mm-hmm.
Powerful statement.
Yeah, powerful statement, because their motto is just a few good men. You know, just a few.
What's powerful about that is, you know, God even reminded me about that even in my own journey walking with Christ. God reminded me that there was a significant difference before Jesus, but there was also a significant difference before the Marine Corps as far as, you know, sloppy room, you know, just not really caring about haircuts or just presenting yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've talked to a lot of service members even now, and it's just like you can walk down the street or go to the mall and see someone and say they're military by how they present themselves. They have their hands behind their back. They're very respectful. Just by walking, they understand that difference of just like, okay, I'm different now. There's a difference before and then after. That's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. And so they're advertising, you know, you're right. They're advertising that, hey, listen, just to let you know before you come up here. And that one statement, before you come up here, if you have any intentions of just trying this out or taking a little test or feeling us out, just understand that we're not taking applications here. Mm-hmm. We're only taking commitments of those who are serious. And you know what? Jesus is only taking commitments. We're not trying Jesus out. Mm-hmm. We're not getting a lucky rabbit's foot. Mm-hmm. We're not getting a spiritual ATM, if you will.
Get out of jail free card.
Get out of jail. Come, that's insulting to the Lord. It really is. And it's insulting when we present a gospel that way that says, hey, just pray a prayer. Just all you have to do is come to church. You know, it's like salvation is not in the church. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, the church is a byproduct of having a relationship with the Lord, and you meet other members of the body. But the church doesn't save. Jesus is the one that saves. And so when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about this, and we're laying foundation, what we're doing. We're laying foundation because we're getting ready to talk about the next phase and the next place that we're supposed to go once we've made this commitment. Now what? Mm-hmm. Join us when we come back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What religious rights are allowed in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a physician in an OBGYN's office in Missouri, and we have various fertility options that are available to patients. And my question is, do we have the right to set up guidelines in order to treat patients who are married and exclude those who may not be in married relationships or who may be lesbian or whatnot?
Well, you got to be really, really careful, because you've got a situation in that where you're denying services based on someone's sexual orientation. The law does not really allow for that. It depends. A private private medical clinic, of course, can decide what the facilities and what it wants to offer to various people and what it doesn't. But you've got to be very careful because there's state laws that deal with those kind of issues of state law discrimination.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org. iabide.org and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before we took break, we were talking about, you know, laying some foundation to what we're getting ready to speak about today. But we're talking about how Jesus is not taking applications, he's taking commitments. And some of the reasons why we're probably seeing the lack of commitment in the body of Christ in certain areas. Certainly there are committed Christians in America, all over, you know, and all over the world. Certainly we see that. Certainly we see the fruit. You know, there's people that love the Lord and they're laying their lives down. But we're talking about at large, and the reason why you're laying this foundation, I mean, George Barna statistics alone tell us that 81% of the church is not even abiding with the Lord. They're not reading their Bibles. That means only 19% are, and of the 19%, only 3% feel that they're spiritually responsible for their own spiritual development.
All right.
So if the Word of God doesn't have a very high significance across the board, then, you know, we need to start there. That's called a clue. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's a clue. And so before we enter into the realm of taking the seven mountains, and we're going to define that for you here in a minute, of society, we have to start talking about, hey, you know, who's going to take me? You know, we got to start discipling individuals and do what Jesus said. I mean, Jesus' last words, last words to his disciples is go and make disciples of all the nations. This is the, you know, people talk about famous last words. Well, hello, there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' last words,
yeah,
you know?
Like any better than that.
Go and make disciples of the nations. And we need to make disciples, not attendees, you know, not followers of a you know, program or a book or what have you, but followers of Jesus. Of Jesus. Those that abide with him, have a relationship with him, read his word, and put into practice what God's word says. Building their spiritual house on a right foundation, one that's solid and secure on Jesus and not on any other person. And it's so important. No matter how godly the person is, you're not supposed to build your foundation on a person. You're supposed to build your foundation, you know, on the word of God. And so we're talking about just a few good men and these commitments, but we got to get into training and imparting and raising the next generation up. You're seeing many faithful men of God, women of God that are passing away. They have served their generation well, and it's time for the new generation to continue with the second and you know, portion of anointing upon their life to continue the advancement of God's kingdom. But we got to raise them up. We got to continue to raise them up, continue to impart to them. And, you know, discipleship more is something that's caught than it is taught. I mean, you can teach discipleship principles, but when you really get into the essence of discipleship, it's something that comes from relationship. It comes from walking things out together and serving together, and those things are taught in that type of environment. And so, you know, our goal in knowing Jesus and making him Lord is to enter the family of God, to have relationship and to be united with Christ, right? To be once in spirit with him, and to live to glorify him and to do what he says to do. So when I'm in the family of God, when you're in the family of God, now we're living this in the context of the church, of the family of God gathering together, we need to be able to affect our society. And oftentimes what we see, and maybe you can speak to this, but we see a message that's focused on a come ye, come to the church, instead of a go ye, go into the world.
Right.
And it appears like things that we're hearing is like, just come to this location. Just we're having something Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night. And then, of course, just come. And it's focused on what's happening inside of a building, which is fine. It's great. I mean, hey, I'm all for meetings and, you know, glorifying God. That's good.
Right.
You know, but I'm of the mind that, you know, light belongs in darkness, not with other light.
Right.
You know, so how many more light gatherings are we going to have before somebody goes into the darkness and shares his light? And so light belongs in the darkness. Mm. And the darkness is in society. Oftentimes there isn't any light there. Mm. And so what we want to do is what? Go into, you know, have a true impact for Jesus in the world that we live in.
Mm.
You know, we live in the world. What happens in a particular building on a given Sunday morning? Hey, we're in the locker room. It's rah-rah, sis kumbah. We're enjoying the Lord, his presence. We're worshiping. That's wonderful. You know, God's not there. He's on the inside roaring like a lion. Hey, I love that. But let the lion roar outside of the building. You know what I'm saying? let it roar in you know, displaying the works of God and being faithful.
Right.
And so That's you know, the focus. So you look at these seven mountains, and they're basically mountains of societal influence, right? And before we can have impact on these seven mountains, and I'm going to share with you what these seven mountains are, because I keep talking about them, but I'm going to share with you a little bit of what they are. And these are mountains of societal influences, right? Where just society, we interact. You have what they call the religion mountain. You have what is known as the family mountain, the education mountain, government, media, which is, you know, includes news, radio, TV, newspapers, internet, all that type of stuff. You have the arts and the entertainment, which is music and television and social media and movies and things of that nature. And then, of course, there's business, you know, and the ability to create wealth and enterprise and, and you know, doing all those type of things. Well, in those seven mountains, whoever's at the top of those mountains is the one that's influencing whatever happens in those mountains. So whoever's at the top of the education mountain, whoever that is influencing everything that has to do with education. And so how, you know, it doesn't take hard to really think about this, but how the enemy has woven himself and has had outposts, if you will, of his own on these mountains. He's trying to influence these mountains. And the truth is that God has called us to affect our generation. He's called us to go into the streets, to go into the highways and the byways. He's called us to live in our communities and to share Jesus with everyone. And so our job, our place of business, our where we go to school, they're not places that we just have to go and just do life. It's a place that we can take Jesus along with us, and we can be a bold witness, and we can help people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen, being a Christian is far from being boring. It is an adventure every single day to glorify God, to lift Him up. This is your call. Tune in for more. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited but our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience all around the nation and the world. I love to see all the posts and all the comments on Facebook. It's so, so encouraging to hear from you. And as we're in this conversation together, spreading the light all around the world, it's absolutely beautiful. We love it. And also joining me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Well, you know, in our previous program, we were talking about Jesus is not taking applications. He's taking commitments. And we're talking about the seven mountains of influence and how we can have impact in our society for the Lord. And he's called us to that. He's called us to walk, you know, our relationship out with him, not in a closet or not in a building with, you know, other light-filled believers, right? But he's called us to go into the harvest. He's called us to reach people for him, to bring people to him, you know, so that they can know him as well. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, beautiful are the feet of those who go, you know what I'm saying? Right. Go, but you got to go. Who's going to tell them? Mm. And it's us, those that love him, those that adore him. You know, it's just hard not to talk about what you love. Yeah. I mean, it really is.
Right.
It really is. And that oftentimes you may hear.
And you know what people love based on what you hear coming out of their mouths.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just listen to them. They'll tell you who they are. Yeah. what's their affections on, whether it's sports or their girlfriend, boyfriend, that kind of thing.
Yeah, whatever
their job.
Sure.
Whatever it is.
So it's not like, well, you know, I'm not really a talkative person. I'm not really demonstrative. And, you know, I don't wear my thoughts on their sleeves. I remember this one person I was talking to. He's a very, very quiet individual. And the minute, you know, just didn't talk much.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought. But the minute I asked the person about their job, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Explosion.
I'm melting here. And it was like every detail, every component. I mean, I was just like, oh, my goodness. He does speak. He does speak. Oh, my goodness, you know. And it's like, wow. So we have the ability. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to communicate and to talk about. The question is, you know, what's the driving passion?
Yeah, what's important to you?
What's important? Most important. There's many things that are important. But like, what's most important? What do you want to occupy conversation with? It's like, mm-hmm. really? You guys are like gathered for 2 hours and you talked about what? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my goodness, you know?
Right.
You know, every word is recorded, right? You do know that, right? It's like, man, we want to lift him up because we love him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the question is, you know, if you love him, you're going to talk about him. And it's going to be not something that's burdensome, but something that's easy because you are in love.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we said too that, you know, when you know, oftentimes, I don't know the best way to say this, but oftentimes there appears to be a communication that you know, sometimes believers hear that what's most spiritual, most impacting, what's most, you know, effective for the Lord, if you will, it's what's being done in a location on a Wednesday, on a Sunday in one building,
mm-hmm.
as opposed
to... If they're really committed,
right. Like, hey, you got to get in here and park cars. Right? You got to, you know, do this type of stuff because you got to serve the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all about serving the Lord, you know? But is that the only place? Is that the only place? And have we diminished what the person does, the believer does at their workplace? You know, my heart goes out for, let's say, for that mindset to go that's being broadcast over. You know, let's say to a person, a mechanic who is turning wrenches all day long. They're working hard at their place of employment. They're doing their job unto the Lord. They're on time. They're working with excellence, and they're not necessarily impacting directly people because they're working on something that's physical. They're fixing things.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to say that what that person does for 56, what that believer does for 50 to 60 hours means nothing to Jesus? When the Word of God tells us that we are to do our work unto the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and that we can glorify God in our work. And so we got to change that narrative and say, hey, you know what? where you work, where do you go to school, where you shop, the community that you live in, you can have impact. And what you're doing there is very important. It's your ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And oftentimes people at work have more impact for ministry than some people that are wanting to be gathered all day long and, amongst other light. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, get into the harvest.
Yeah.
Interact with people because they're there. They're there. And you really got to just take that whole mindset and say, okay, is this working? If you have a view that, or an ideology that most evangelism takes place in a religious meeting, then you're always going to be focused on first bringing someone to a location first to someone maybe who's more qualified to lead them to the Lord.
Right.
But guess what? You're qualified. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and of course he knows you, you're qualified. You don't have to bring them anywhere first. Right there, you can lead them to the Lord. And I think about, Steve, all the many interactions that you have, as you're working in out in society, you're faithful. Just go up there and just witness and to share the love of God.
Where
and
you're at.
And in that encounter, whether it's at the airport or out in the community, it just overflows and spills over.
Right. See,
the natural thing is that when people meet God, no matter where they're at, there's a hunger that stirs up on the inside. And then the very next question they ask you, what do you fellowship with? What do you gather? That's the very next question, right?
Because that's their understanding is like, okay, hey, like you're saying, they have that hunger, and then they respond to what you're saying, Pat, as far as like, take me to that location. Where's that location? Where's the location? Mm-hmm. So like, let me tell you the one who is the location. Let me tell you the one who is that you're hungry for.
That's right.
And that's connecting them and directing them to what it is that they're searching for, that they're responding to, Christ in you.
Right. Right. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we take that type of mindset and realize that, hey, at my work, at my school, in my neighborhood, in my business, God has anointed me for business.
Mm.
If you're an employer and you have one employees or 25 or 5,000, hello, that is a group of people that you can have significant influence for the kingdom of God just by how your business is structured, your character, so many we can list all these different type of scenarios. But we talked about and we introduced the seven mountains. And what we need to do is again, empower believers to recognize that, hey, take that mountain for Jesus. Because whoever controls that mountain, whoever's at the top of that mountain, really influences everything that goes on in that mountain, whether it's education, family, arts and entertainment, media, religion, business. Whoever's at the top controls it. And don't you know that the enemy, he's all up and down that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
He's all up and down that business mountain, maybe trying to distort and just destroy how business is done with influencing greed. You can go on and on. Look at what's happening in the media. Look what's happening in arts and entertainment. Who is running the arts and entertainment mountain? Who is running that? With all of just, you see all the filth that's coming out. And so what happens when we start saying, you know what? God belongs on the top of those mountains. When we declare that Jesus is Lord on top of these mountains, and we have believers in positions of empowerment and also positions of power that can actually bring change and influence everything that happens. We talk about education. Is that not an important mountain?
Huge.
I mean, when you have a believer on that mountain, then things change.
Yeah.
But not, don't even bring Jesus up in the school.
When you look at education, when this nation first started, and the significance and the foundation of the Bible, and how everything that was taught was from the Bible, and you look how that's slowly started to get removed, the effect on it.
Think about it. Who was on the mountain when prayer was taken out of school?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, it wasn't a believer.
No.
It wasn't a believer. And so you see that eroding. But the good news here is that it can change.
Oh, yeah.
And we're seeing advancements up these mountains. But let's just take one mountain, for instance, the arts and entertainment mountain. When you look at that mountain and you've seen all of the type of films and movies and all the things that have come out, and just you can go on and on with all different forms of entertainment. You look at it and go, wow, that's pretty horrible. You know, you got to, you know, that's changed so much in television now that you really have to have some sort of safeguard on your TV because the things that were allowed just on regular TV is amazing, where before it wasn't like that. But you look at Christian films, for instance. Do you remember what Christian films used to look like? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, the low budget, you know, acting wasn't as great. You know, it was a film. It was recorded, you know, but there wasn't much to it. And then you go back and you think about, well, remember when the audience of Christian films were just mainly a Christian audience. They were made for Christians. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that film was made for, and that was the target audience. And then you started seeing, wait a minute. Remember like when Hollywood didn't pay much attention at all to Christian films, and it was just difficult even just to get a Christian movie in the movie theater? You remember that? It was like, oh, yeah. I wonder if they're going to play it. I wonder if it's going to be local. Where do you got to go see this movie? Will one movie theater pick it up? Let me tell you how important that is. Because you thought you were going to a movie theater. You really thought that. But what you were really going to was a high-priced candy and concession shop. That's what you were going to, because the movie theater business, they don't make any money off the movies, really. The movie companies make money off ticket sales.
Right. That's why they charge $20 for a box of popcorn.
There you go. There you go. That's why you pay for the popcorn, and that's where they make the money. But if you don't have the film that's going to attract the people to sit down and view the film, then you're not going to have anyone to sell popcorn and candy to. And so there was this whole thing. Can you get a Christian movie? Will the Christians come and support this movie? Will you get anybody to see it? And Hollywood didn't pay that much attention, right? So money thing. And now you see, wait a minute. The story started to change. You start to see Hollywood taking notice of Christian-themed movies and how Christians have supported these movies and have come out in droves. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the type of influence and how Christians have really climbed up this arts and entertainment mountain, and some of the exciting things they've been able to do, you know, with film and with movies, and how it's having a significant impact on our culture. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God is doing some amazing, amazing things. If you missed our earlier program, you need to get a perspective of a crying out for justice with Pastor Sai. Remember, we're four programs back to back. If you missed any, you can catch them at VFNTV.com, download our app or whatever. We want to keep in a continual conversation with you with that, because we've got to have a perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. The reason why is because God's going to hold you accountable. God is going to hold each of us accountable. We stand alone before God. And that's how you can just be confident that you're just doing what you can with what God has entrusted to you, and you're being faithful. And one thing that we want to do, and the Lord's really spoken to us about this, that, you know, stay in relationship with us. We'll stay in relationship with you as long as the Lord will allow us, and say, you know what, let's continue this broadcast around the nation and around the world. But he's shown us some very hopeful things. And if we will trust him in this, and if we will believe him and begin to speak these things out while getting our heart, it's not like a default setting, like we can stay in rebellion and stay in sin and continue to, you know, all these wrong things, and it's going to happen. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn and pray to God, he says, listen, he'll hear and he'll change things. And I believe he's going to change things regionally. He's going to change things state by state. So you can be in a state that's lost their state of mind, the original intent, or you can be in a city that's lost their state of mind, and you can say, you know what, this particular city is like the city that Lot was in, so I'm going to find me another city under a man or a woman of God who loves God, who hears from God, and I'm going to plant myself right there, and that's where me and my family are going to sow, we're going to be faithful to God.
We're going to pray God for that, pray that God would cover us in the context of that and speak to us, and we're going to obey God in that. And maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Truly loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Our hope, and we are hearing the Lord, as many are, and we, our goal is just to communicate that to you so you could be all that God has called you to be. And find out more at vfndreamcenter.com, vfndreamcenter.com for more details on that. You can join us virtually or join us on the Gulf Coast. We're located in the Pensacola area, but also reaching around the nation and the world with it's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's exciting what God is doing. We call it the dream because it's what God said, and we're just doing what he said, and it's amazing how that's taken. That's why we're here. That's why we're here talking to you right now. God said it. We're just doing it.
That's right.
Just doing what God said.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about how Christians and Christian films are climbing up the mountain, the arts and entertainment mountain, and they've had are having a significant impact where in times past, you couldn't, I mean, it was a big deal just to get a Christian film made, much less showed at the movie theater. Right. You know what I mean? It was like, woo, it's going to be like one day. You got to go for this one day because after that, they're going to have one showing. And now that we understand the science of how it's all money, how they're getting paid by that, it's all about seats and getting folks to sit down. Well, you know, according to Box Office Mojo here, they start listing some Christian movies and how much they've actually grossed. I'm going to surprise you. And this is why Hollywood's paying attention now. But you guys remember The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I bought two tickets. I went twice to see that. And that movie, lifetime grossed in theaters, and we're not talking DVDs or anything else, $370 million.
Wow.
I mean, $370,782,000. Almost $500 million just on The Passion of Christ, and it had subtitles.
Yeah.
It had subtitles.
Yeah.
But what an amazing movie. You talking about... society. Oh, people say, well, why is that important? Do Christians really need to have impact? I mean, in the arts and media? Well, hello, do we want to turn that over to the enemy, number one? And number two, they're having huge impact. I heard of a story in the first 2 days of this movie coming out of a man who, I believe he committed murder, saw this movie, was so convicted, he turned himself in.
Wow.
Turned himself in. He just came under the conviction of just watching Jesus' life and what happened in sin and just turned himself in.
Wow.
That's huge. But what that's done all across the world for Christians and what that's done, I've heard of believers and non-believers have went to this movie and were just so gripped to see the first, you know, almost like an eyewitness account because you think it was actually better view, you know, you saw more reality of what happened maybe than some people that were actually there in the crowds because it's, you know, on the screen, if you will, right there in front of your face and all the technology. Then you have movies that were, you know, Christian in nature based upon books, for instance, that were written by C.S. Lewis. And it's just an awesome man of God who had a radio program and wrote these books, like the Chronicles of Narnia. And they're children's books, and the gospel is kind of interwoven in these characters. And so as you read these characters, you realize, oh, my goodness, there's the gospel's being shared in here, but it's not, you don't realize it up front. Mm-hmm. Well, they made all these three series of the Chronicles of Narnia, and these movies, all three of them, probably gross almost, again, $500 million, $291 million. And $710,000 for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, $141 million for Prince Caspian, and then The Dawn Treader, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, was another $100 million.
Wow.
And you talk about influence. The movie, Heaven is for Real, just released. This movie, cost $12 million to produce.
Which is very cheap to today's market.
$12 million to produce. T.D. Jakes, I believe, is an executive producer. But if he's executive, I'm not sure, but he is definitely a producer of this movie. $12 million. This movie has grossed already $76 million in theater sales. We're not talking DVDs or anything else.
It's still out, right?
I believe it's still out.
Yeah.
I believe it's still out. I want to go see it. I heard it was good. The Son of God movie that just came out, $59 million. And the movie God's Not Dead, which you saw,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. First day it was released, it made $9 million. But since then, which was March 21st, since then, it's grossed $57,799,000.
Wow. That's awesome.
I mean, that's huge. The Nativity Story, $37 million. Courageous, $34 million. Fireproof, $33 million. I mean, talk about, this is significant quality films. Mm-hmm. And you talk about Fireproof. I didn't see that, but I heard that whole movie was about marriage and reconciliation. I've not. Everyone's telling me to go see it.
You should go see that.
Come on.
Don't even see that.
I've seen that. I have the DVD to see that. I've seen that.
Can I borrow that movie?
Please.
Okay, tell me.
Yeah, well, that's very, very, very briefly. It's an awesome, story of somebody who, doesn't live for Christ, but in the workplace, just like you're saying, somebody ministers to him, and through that journey of what happens in his life, he ends up giving his life to Jesus. It's powerful.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And let me say that all these movies were clean. All these movies were void of any kind of foul language, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, some of these movies is like, how did that curse word actually make that movie better? How did that, you could just see, it's like, why would they even do that? Well, hello? Because who's influencing that stuff?
Who's right. on the mountain?
Who's on the mountain?
Yeah.
Who's on the mountain? And so think about the change and the impact that we can have as believers as we continue to ascend these mountains, as God enables us, as God has empowers us, mm-hmm. gives us an anointing for what we do. We need to take over that arts and entertainment mountain. Mm-hmm. And you look at what's happening amongst believers and some of the creativity that's coming out and the quality. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'm of the mind that, my goodness, if the Creator lives inside of us, mm-hmm. then there should be an anointing on the inside of us. Absolutely. To create and to produce the most beautiful things in the world, because we always, in everything that we do, want to point to God. Mm. We want to point to Him. So we want to encourage you, find your place, follow the Lord, become a disciple, make your commitment to Jesus, and then live your life in such a way that you're going to glorify Him no matter where you're at work, at school, at play, in your neighborhood, no matter in business, in your family, you're going to lift Jesus high. You're going to lift Him high. Well, Pat, talk to us. I know that you had some interesting information that you just found out.
Yeah.
And you have sources for this, right? You have sources?
Oh, yeah, we've got sources.
Okay, talk to us.
Yeah, I heard this awesome story yesterday. I couldn't hardly believe it. It just caught my attention. And you can, Steve, you can relate to this. There's this vet. Apparently, he was a veteran from...
Veteran?
Yeah, veteran.
Okay.
Veteran, not a
veterinarian.
Okay.
A military vet.
Military veteran. Okay.
Did a few tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And anyway, he came back from all that and he got discharged because of
medical reasons.
Got hit by, what do you call this?
IED.
Yeah.
Roadside bomb, basically.
Had post-traumatic stress, all that. So he had this dog that actually
could,
because he would have these seizures.
Mm-hmm.
So he had this dog that would actually detect these seizures that would actually help him.
The dog would detect the seizures.
He was trained to notice and pay attention to his owner if he had a seizure or not, mm-hmm. and somehow mm-hmm. help him. Well, apparently, one day he ended up having a seizure, and the dog, now that he wasn't trained to do this particular part of it, he's on the ground having a seizure. He digs the man's phone out of his pocket.
The dog does.
The dog with his paw. And the dog calls 911.
What?
With his paw.
What kind of phone was this?
It was probably, he showed it on the TV. It was like a little iPhone or something. And he's like, he kept hitting the phone and somehow pulled up
911.
Tom Apple 911 was able to call over and over and over again because at first they thought it was just a prank.
Yeah.
But it kept happening over and over again. And then one time they heard the man in the background actually making noises.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So he called multiple times.
So they finally come. A police officer comes to the house and the dog's sitting out front in the yard waiting for them and leads them back to where the man is and ends up saving the man's life.
Wow. My goodness. Wow. What a story.
Yeah. We'll have a clip of it, of the little video of it on the torch. Awesome. It was unbelievable.
Well, that's great. Listen, our prayers are for every veteran that has served our country and has defended us. And our prayers are for you. We want to see you be healed and restored. And we're thankful for this man's life who was saved. But there's so many men and women that have laid down their lives for us. We appreciate you. We honor you. And we stand for you and all the help that you need to get back to where you need to be. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order. And for Israel, this is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God. Hmm. He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation that you want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.